Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
6 o'clock, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score, 670thescore.com. It is Nick Szczepkowski and Big Ant Heron with you until 10 o'clock tonight. Not a whole lot you have to say after an outing quite like that one. Cubs lose today 7-0 in brutal fashion against the Milwaukee Brewers. The gap closed to 2 games now. They lead the National League Central by not what anybody had planned, not what had anyone thought was coming, at least today, in terms of the Cubs. In the heels of their big win on Sunday night to take 2 out of 3 from the Nationals, they go out and lay an egg today in just about every aspect of the game. 312-644-6767, the telephone number to call. It is Nick Szczepkowski and Anthony Heron with you on an hour being brought to you by the Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago. And I'll start right there with the pitching. There's a lot of other things, because when you put up a zero all afternoon long and you only come across with 3 hits, that needs to be discussed as well. When teams are having hitters-only meetings and trying to figure out their flaws, that is worthy of discussion. But I want to start with Big Q himself, Jose Quintana.
My guy.
A year and a month in after this trade, and I feel like it's just like that scene in Caddyshack. Well, we're waiting. When? When? Well, when is he going to be the guy that he is supposed to be? It seems like every excuse has been made of, all right, yeah, well, he was traded, and it's an adjustment to get to a different team and learning to work with another catcher. Oh, Wilson Contreras doesn't do enough for him to bail him out, and this, that, the other thing. Everything that can be thrown out there seemingly has, and it's, oh, it's just a matter of time before Quintana puts it together. Danny Parkins mentioned it in transition. He had the 10 starts in a row where his ERA worked out to be 3, and that's a solid run. Like, that's a good run. Don't get me wrong. Don't get it confused. Like, I'm not trying to make fun of him for that. That is a damn good run. But that's 10 starts of over 20 now this year. That's it. You look at his run ERA this season, you're in the mid-4s. You have a guy pushing 4-5 after a brutal outing today that he gives up 3 home runs. Like, when is it going to be that guy that I'm not asking him to be number one? I don't think anyone had the expectation of, like, yep, he is a true number one. No one thought that. And if you did, all right, that's probably on you thinking that when he was dealt for. Yeah. It was as much trading for his contract as it was trading for him. But you're getting a guy that you feel fills out the end of a rotation right now. His last 4 outings out, giving up 5 runs with regularity. That's not going to win you ball games. And I mean, you continue to get these outings from him, from Lester, from the starting staff that has just been a disappointment really all year long outside of Lester's first half of the year. And you're going to be in a dogfight until the very end of September just to win a division, just to get a playoff spot, because the National League has shown you week after week after week that there is no special team in the National League. And yeah, we can sit here and discuss how they can be favorites to win the NL, and that's justified and understood. But we can sit here at the same time and say that, yeah, they're not a whole heck of a lot better than the teams in second and third place in their division right now. And the teams chasing them in the wild card race as well right now, because they, cleanly put, are not.
And I guess thoughts to the contrary would have to be largely, if not mostly, based off of their past history, which shouldn't be ignored. But as far as what they've actually done this season, what the tangible results of this year have been, they've been so inconsistent. And my big concern, you know, I were talking about this a bit last night as it relates to the starting pitching. You know, today it's Quintana. A couple days from now, it'll be Lester. At some point soon, it'll be Hendricks. I mean, I don't know what the order is you know, coming up here. You know, when Cole Hamels takes the mound again, that'll be exciting, and everybody's going to be curious whether or not he can continue to look like an ace. But while the Tyler Chatwood concerns, while I found those overrated, it was mainly because he's the fifth starter, not because he was pitching well, but because I didn't find a large degree of concern personally for how well or how bad the fifth starter was pitching. If he's pitching great, that's nice. It's icing on the cake. But to me, those top three guys, and then for the regular season purposes, those top four guys are where my main concerns were. And as well as John Lester was pitching, there's like, okay, can we find some more consistency from Quintana and maybe even, you know, notches it up a tick? Then we'll be in good shape. Does Yu Darvish get healthy mentally and physically? Then great as it relates to the postseason. Right now, you know, if they lose to the Brewers tomorrow, then where? Let me look where they're at in the loss column. The loss column, they're only going to be three up. They're only going to be three up in the loss column.
Yeah, it'd only be three. And that's the thing is, you've had that part of it, and had the Cubs gone out there one today.
They're tied in the win column, by the way, just to point that
okay,
out.
Okay, yeah, but the loss column, I've told you time and time again.
They are tied in the win column.
You cannot get that back. That is like money that you have given away, and you maybe you invested it, and you know that like that's money you've given away, and your investment has turned south, and you're not getting a dime of it back ever again. Or it's the buddy you lended $50 to in college, and you're like, all right, yep, he's going to repay me. Well, years down the road, you finally realize I'm never getting that $50 back, am I? That's what the loss column is. That's the best representation of it I can give you of why the loss column is more important than the win column.
Definitely got buddies who owe me money.
What's that?
I definitely got buddies who owe me
money.
I
think everybody has buddies that owe you money. I hope I'm not that guy of owing people money. I always owe my wife
If you
money
don't got because, buddies who owe you money, you're the buddy yeah, who owe other people money.
Yeah, that no doubt about that. As we awkwardly transition to the issues of the Cubs and Jose Quintana, 312-644-6767 is the telephone number to call. Text messages always welcome as well. 67011 is where you can go to give those to us as well here on the Score. It is Nick Shepkowski and Anthony Heron with you tonight. As we start the conversation out in Park Ridge, it's Tim on 670 The Score. What's up, Tim?
Yes, I'd really like to see the middle of the lineup cluster the best hitters that have some pop in the bat. Jason Hayward, for example, at cleanup is not doing it. He's not a three or a four hitter. I just don't understand why Madden keeps going with this route.
Well, I guess my question for you would be, what would you prefer right now? Because what's that?
I'd certainly prefer Schwarber, the guy that can actually hit some long balls.
Are you aware of how bad Kyle Schwarber's been of late, though?
Just because Schwarber's a more powerful bat doesn't mean we can count on him to make contact.
Or Contreras.
Okay, and you're mentioning two guys right now that have been pretty disappointing runs here post All-Star break for both of them.
Yeah. You want Contreras bat and cleanup?
Like, I get where you're coming from of traditionally, yeah, you want your four-spot guy to be cleanup guy. Whether you're hitting a home run or ripping doubles and hitting for power, that's great and dandy. We'd all like that. You don't have that guy right now.
Out of all the things to complain about, it's Jason Hayward.
That's what I was wondering.
That's what Tim called
like,
him.
Of all things today, like that
come
has
on,
you
Tim.
Angry.
There's more to be upset about. Oh, I'm really angry at some lady who hit me in the parking lot the other day when I wasn't in my vehicle.
Into this.
That has me upset. Jason Hayward batting cleanup is not at the top of my list right now.
Yeah, we got to have like couch time for you, therapeutic time for you.
I don't get
on
fired
tonight
up about a lot of things. I just bought this damn truck, Shep. People running into me in the parked vehicles.
Do we need to do it
it's
now?
It's motionless. No, we can do it. We got people on the phone lines. Okay. We can do it. It's
you more
there.
Ticked off at the lady that hit your car or more ticked off at your guy, Jose Quintana, that you wanted to start in game one of a playoff series last night?
You know what? My glasses half full version of Quintana struggling
today. Oh, boy.
I
can't wait for this.
Is that
can't wait for this.
It actually makes.
Throw this through the Big Ant Heron spin cycle.
It actually makes what you said last night all the more impressive.
I'm telling you.
I view it as more plausible.
If I'm the first person in Chicago that says it, then it can be my little bandwagon everybody else can hitch their ride to.
Please.
When you don't have someone that you are confident in to start game one of a playoff series, hell, game two of a playoff series, who are you confident in right now? We can argue Hendricks, I guess, because he's, all right, well, he gets roughed up early on, but he settles into his groove nicely.
That's what I've moved on to. Instead
Quintana,
of Quintana, I'm
well,
on the Hendricks train now.
He had those 10 great starts in a row. Yeah. I mean, that was a month ago now, but he had those 10 great starts in a row that were fantastic. But Lester is proven when October gets here. I mean, well, August has been a disaster, and so was July, but as long as the calendar flips to October, it's Big John's going to be on the mound, and everything will be fine and dandy. It's like, you don't have a good answer right now. There simply is not one.
But the problem,
though, I'm not trying to be funny about it. There is not a good solution that is there.
Darvish
all of a sudden gets healthy and turns into a guy that he wasn't pre-injury this year. Okay, if that's what you're planning on, good luck with that.
The hole in the equation, though, is that for A plus B to equal C, you know, A being, all right, don't start a starter.
This is awesome.
B being, all right, let's start the closer instead. C is, who's the closer? That like we talked about last night. As soon as you said, I'm like, you know what? That sounds great. But who the hell's the closer? Who do you count on out of the pen, whether you're a setup guy or your actual closer? Because we're not counting on Morrow. He's not even on the field right now. So who is it then? Because a lot of it seems to be kind of coming together a little bit. If you're saying, we don't trust this guy, we don't trust that guy, maybe get that guy by the first couple of innings, and then for whatever reason he feels a little better. If we're talking about Hendricks or whomever it might be. So if we're putting that part of the equation together, some of the ingredients are starting to taste good, but then it's like, okay, if we know who we can't start, we still need to answer the question, who can we start then? And right now it's just kind of the general closer is the answer, but who is that person?
Well, I think it's Pedro Strop right now.
Yeah.
I think when you look at it right now as constructed with Morrow's biceps that are flaring up and apparently have not had the flames extinguished quite yet, I think that's your guy. That's who the Cubs have gone to. That's who Madden's gone to close out games when it's been that situation.
Yeah, I don't mind.
I think that's your answer.
That's what you got?
I don't always love him in a closer role.
Yeah.
I will say that. Yeah. Like, I like him as kind of the guy that is gets you out of a jam in the sixth or seventh or whatever inning it might come in, and he's been damn good at that for not just a year but multiple years here, really dating back to the last days of 2014, of that season. He's been reliable for the most part, even in postseason appearances for the Cubs since then. And that would be my answer of, okay, and that would also take him out of the equation. This is all assuming health on Brandon Morrow, which is, hey, when you're assuming health on a guy whose career has been all about not being healthy, yes, there's danger involved in that, but that would probably be my answer for you.
Mm.
Long-winded.
Mm.
I'm telling you, get ahead of this thing. Hit your
game one starter.
Hit your wagon.
Pedro Strop.
Do it. Like, yes. Get your three outs from him.
Can we get Big Voice Guy to break that news? Big Voice Guy. And your Cubs starting pitcher for game one of the postseason, Pedro Strop.
Yeah, I don't think it's absurd because he can start, he can go back out there and he can start game two of the series two for you. Get those outs.
If he's only going to pitch an inning, what are you thinking?
Yes.
One inning, two innings?
An inning. Get through that first inning. Get through that first wave.
And then just make Hendricks like a long reliever.
Essentially.
So you can get a good six right there in the middle out of Hendricks.
Five or six right there, and all of a sudden you're into the seventh or into the eighth if you get six innings from a starter. Like, holy cow, what a concept. And all of a sudden, like, oh my God, there's only six or nine outs to get here. That'd be amazing. Crazy theory.
Think if Chapman was still here. You could have Chapman start like the first three games of a playoff series for one inning over and over again.
Like, people thought it was crazy when the Indians were doing it 2 years ago, where Andrew Miller's coming out of the bullpen. I'm like, man, that's their best reliever. Why aren't they using him in the closer role? How dare they use him in the sixth inning? And now all of baseball does it all the time. It's all playoff baseball is anymore.
Yeah.
It sets up like how Joe Maddon managed game seven of the World Series. Was okay. You kind of manage it backwards. You have these relievers here and these relievers there, and sometimes it's not your best. Sometimes it's not your best arm being your closer. It's your best arm coming out in the sixth when there's two on and one out, and you got to get out of a jam. Like, I think that there's another step to be taken bullpen wise with this, and I'm dead serious when I say it. I know it's fun to poke at, and it's part of the reason I said it. Sure, but I also think that there's a theory behind it that makes some sense when you have a rotation that's as questionable as the Cubs are. There is right now. 312-644-6767, Orland Park. Ray, you're next up on the score. What's up, Ray?
What's up, guys? Good evening. You know, you're not far off. I'm right on board with this bullpen thing. I don't see how Quintana or Chatwood even makes the playoff roster at this point because there's no reason to have them on there. You need every bullpen arm you can have. Rosario is more valuable than them at this point, and I just don't see how they can make it. I mean, I'm looking at Lester going four innings. I'm looking at Kyle Hendricks going four or doing what you just said, or Mike Montgomery getting a start, just giving that four, and then Shesak, Strope. If Morrow's healthy, you got Chavez who's pitched okay. I mean, that's how it's got to be, and you got to run that bullpen and burn them out as much as you can in those playoffs because that's how you're going to win.
I am with you fully there, Ray. This starting staff, it's not going to be, I mean, barring something completely unforeseen of them all turning their seasons around. And you give me the back of the baseball card
in late August
stuff that you hear all year long. Oh, back of the baseball card this. They're going to play to their normal. They're going to get back to their level. Well, sometimes you just have off years. Go look at, like, 2006 White Sox, for example. That team was just as talented, maybe more talented, than the year previous in terms of the names on that roster. Mm-hmm. They added Jim freaking Tomey, who walked in and hit 40-plus home runs that year. Was a monster for them. Why didn't they ultimately get back? Sure, the Tigers and Twins were improved. Mark Burley, who was old reliable, wasn't reliable that year. Had the worst year of his career. It happened to him. It happens. Sometimes it's baseball. It's a weird damn sport. Arms wear out after playoff wear and tear. Arms get tired. Arms aren't as effective for various reasons. Sometimes it just happens. Maybe it's a weird magical formula that it happened this year to the Cubs of, all right, yeah, oh, Darvish got injured. Lester, old father time, caught up with him here as the season has gone on. And that's something, let's face it, we've been discussing this for a year and a half with John Lester. It's not like this is completely out of left field of like, oh my God, what happened to John Lester? It's like, we've discussed this, that this is what John Lester was going to get to at some point. Now, can he figure out how to pitch around
Reclaim
it and pitch
something.
Over that type of it? But no, I mean, this is a staff right now that I don't think you can just think is going to turn a corner. August 14th.
And they don't have a day off coming in the near future, right? I mean, they're on every day the rest of this week, right? So into the early part of next week, I think, isn't it? Or when's their next day off? Because to get John Lester any rest right now, which seems to be what everyone is assuming, myself included, that Joe Maddon would really love to do without putting him on the DL.
They have
to sit him for a start, but it's going to be hard when you are playing every day.
A week from yesterday, they have off. It'll be a travel day in between Pittsburgh and Detroit.
Yeah. All right.
And
if they can get to next Monday, then from that point, and I mean, you know, from where the division is right now, especially depending on what happens tomorrow, they may be trailing in the win column tomorrow, but they'll still be up in the loss column, so they'll be in good shape. So depending on what happens tomorrow against the Brewers, then, you know, you can survive another Lester start and then try to get them some rest by the time you hit that point.
And also after that, not to say the Cubs are playing at a level right now that you can take any team for granted or whatnot, but you do have Detroit, Cincinnati, and the Mets all right in a row. Now, two of those series are on the road in Detroit. Actually, only one of them is. Detroit is on the road. Cincinnati's here. The Mets are here. So you have 7-9 games against very mediocre teams there. But even when I say that, Cincinnati has played extremely well against the Cubs so far this year. So you can't take that for granted, but at least the schedule does take a little bit of a breath there for you. 312-644-6767 is your telephone number to call. Nick Szczepkowski, Anthony Herron with you on 670 The Score. The Cubs, what the heck do you do? Starting pitching-wise, how do you work your way around this thing? Because what's going on right now, not so much going well for them in that department. We're taking your theories on it, how you fix not just Jose Quintana, but some of the other guys that haven't performed up to par
this year as well.
And, yeah, there are texters pointing out hard to win a baseball game when you don't score any runs. We'll get into that as well. 312-644-6767. A ton of Cubs to discuss tonight on the heels of a 7-0 loss against the Milwaukee Brewers. Nick Szczepkowski and Anthony Herron with you on The Score. Joe Maddon after the game today. Cubs offense not exactly firing on all cylinders. Hell, not firing on any cylinders, let alone all cylinders. Nick Szczepkowski, Anthony Herron with you. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score, 670thescore.com. 7-0 the final score today at Wrigley Field as the Cubs drop to 68-50 on the season after they lose this one. Jose Quintana roughed up, spent some time on him. It is worth discussing the offense, though, and the shortcomings of this Cubs offense.
Thank you, Tony Gill, by the way. Your bumps at least have – they're starting to kind of quell the storm that's within me right now with this lady hitting my car. But the bump music has had a positive vibe to it. It's been
Foo Fighters to start off the show. What was that right there?
That was a little Pharrell.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what you need. You need his big cowboy hat on.
It would be hard to get a hat to look that big on my dome. It's at least proportional with my body enough, but my head is enormous.
Yeah. It's you walk into Lids, they have to special order everything for you when that happens?
I don't even bother going to Lids. It's but, not worth my time. They don't have anything for me.
You have to sew two hats together.
I got a special order, yeah.
But when you look at this Cubs offense, 7-0 today they lose. They get shut out. Like Joe Maddon mentioned there, they're one strike away from getting shut out two games in a row. Nationals game on Saturday. They score a couple runs late in that thing when they were already down 8-1, 9-1, whatever it was. They are getting no hit for six innings on Friday against the Nationals before they put together a couple of hits and a couple of batters getting hit to produce enough runs to win. They get shut out against Kansas City the Wednesday before that. It is an offense that you can say everything that you want. Oh, yeah, they've survived well without Chris Bryant. They've managed well enough. Bodie has been a shock. He's been a surprise. Didn't expect to see him playing anywhere near this level. That can all be true. But you can also look back on the last week and a half, 2 weeks here and notice that, yeah, it is an offensive funk. And you shouldn't be wind blowing like it was at Wrigley Field today. Cubs should be the team with the advantage there, playing on their home turf, knowing how to play in that ballpark there. Instead, it's the Brewers just, I mean, sitting on curveballs from Quintana and hitting the damn things 450 feet, it seemed like. It's an offense that you have a lot of guys that at the first half of the season couldn't wait to throw bouquets at the feet of Jason Howard. Jason Hayward couldn't wait to give the standing ovations to Kyle Schwarber for what he's done. Oh my God, Schwarber's back to being 2015 Schwarber instead of the 2017 guy that got sent to AAA. Oh my goodness, all the praise for him. Albert Almora is leading the league in hitting. There are a lot of guys. Addison Russell. Oh, Addison Russell's taking walks and he's turning into the hitter he's supposed to be. Well, none of those guys have been producing here for quite some time. It's not all just Chris Bryant, simply. Yes, Bodie has helped hide a lot of those shortcomings of the Bryant injury. Baez's MVP candidacy, that has hid a decent amount of this, and Anthony Rizzo has picked up the slack considerably versus what the first half of his year was. But you have a lot of spots in that lineup right now that are giving you next to nothing, and that's not going to – that keeps up, then, yeah, this is going to be a team that's fighting tooth and nail just to get into the postseason at the end of September.
The thing I find a bit odd about it when you look at the way that they've struggled at the plate here in recent weeks is that for a long time, you know, throughout the majority of this season, and when you look back to last year, a lot of it was a similar story throughout the year, where there was so much feast or famine to it, where there'd be like a 10-run game followed by 3 2-run or shutout games, and that was what happened quite a bit throughout this season. And here, as of late, where it did seem like things were really starting to pick up at the plate going into the All-Star break, and then even for a short time after the All-Star break, I'd say. But here lately, they do have some timely hitting. I mean, especially just, you know, when you extrapolate it out to maybe the last couple of months, you look at June and July and coming in August here, there's been some timely hitting. I mean, there have been times where you've had, you know, I've referenced a couple of them last night. You had the Hayward walk-off, and you had the Rizzo walk-off. You had Almora with some big hits. But there's no consistency to the churning over of runs and the getting people on base and knocking them in. It's kind of like waiting until late in the game in those last couple of innings and then getting hot and having the big moments and having this dramatic walk-off or game winner that ends up getting you the late lead. And it's really sort of the opposite of what it would feel like or seem like this lineup should be built upon, where it is the modern baseball lineup where there's so much power and you can hit from both sides of the plate, top to bottom, but there's not anybody who's really getting that done right now. And I felt like when Chris Bryant left the lineup again, and, you know, when it was the shoulder, for a little while, I actually got into a little bit of a comfort zone and thinking, well, even though he's Chris Bryant, this is a lineup that seems to be built to be able to withstand that because they're so deep and talented. But at this point, since nobody's really hitting the ball lately, now it does make you miss a guy like Chris Bryant, even with the power number struggling in the way that they've struggled. But he was still a guy you could count on putting some wood on the bat, putting some wood on the ball, and actually at least being able to get it in play and test the pitcher in a way that would help set up other guys up and down the lineup. And you don't have that anymore. Now you've got, I mean, in a way, it's almost odd that Javi Baez this week has taken some walks, and now suddenly he's struggling. Now that he's actually taken a few walks, he should get back to just completely swinging his, throwing his back out every time he gets into the batter's box again, and maybe that's going to turn him back into the Javi he was when he looked like he was going to be an MVP, or he was. He still is an MVP candidate, but he certainly hasn't had that MVP quality kind of week here going on right now.
That's Anthony Herron. I'm Nick Szczepkowski. 312-644-6767 is a telephone number to call. Text messages, as always, 67011 as we break down the Cubs, the lineup that's not producing, the starting pitching that's not producing. More on all of those to come. Rolling Meadows, John, next up on the Score. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Well, you know, two guys I can talk about right now. Baez is now, what, 1-for-21?
And yeah, he's not looked good of late.
Schwarber hasn't done anything since the All-Star break to speak of. You know, my
which
question
of his,
is...
Which of Kyle Schwarber's two RBIs since the All-Star break are your favorite, John? You have one?
No.
I mean, there are enough to pick from. You can pick a favorite.
I mean, Schwarber, I mean, he's not... He doesn't look like himself at the plate. He looks uncomfortable. He looks kind of... He looks out of whack. Yeah, the question I have, though, is... When is Joe going to wake up and put Rizzo back in the cleanup spot where he belongs? I mean, this guy's your big bat, and you got him leading off. I mean, that's okay. I mean, when he wasn't hitting, but you need his bat further down the lineup to drive.
But
these
if
guys
nobody's
that are
on base in front of him, what does it really matter? Like that's my question to it. Of it's great in theory to think. Yep, Anthony Rizzo should be hitting down in the lineup because guys are on base in front of him. Who the hell is getting on base? You got three hit today. They got two hit the other night until the disastrous ninth inning for the Nationals where they're booting the ball over the infield and their relief pitcher, Ryan Madsen's hitting every other guy. Like, it's not like you're getting just a plethora of base runners all over the place. So when you do have a guy like Rizzo who has been playing better, who has been hitting better, I don't have a problem with it. Yeah, it can be the cute Joe Madden thing. It has worked on a team that, despite being in first place, despite having the best record in the National League, is an incredibly flawed team.
And I think that's coming. You know, even before he moved Anthony Rizzo back to the leadoff position a few weeks back, I called that, and I'm sure a lot of other people probably suspected that was coming at some point. When he put him back in the leadoff spot because he was struggling after the All-Star break. And he did, you know, we cracked our jokes about him looking like Jake Taylor from Major League and struggling to get down the base pass and talking about whether or not he's injured and those types of things. And then suddenly Joe put him back in the leadoff spot and he started to look like Anthony Rizzo again. So is he going to put someone else at leadoff? Probably sometime soon, but I don't think that is necessarily reason enough to question whether or not he should do it now, because to your point, it's not like there's a lot of RBIs being missed by Rizzo being at the leadoff spot right now. If anything, when he's batting leadoff, that seems to be his best shot at hitting home runs. When he's been batting leadoff and his numbers have been so great, that's when you've been seeing the bombs from Rizzo more frequently than not. But at a certain point here where Albert Almora, you know, he was a guy who did some nice things when he was in the leadoff position. So my guess would be, just off of Joe's patterns, maybe Albert goes to the leadoff spot. Rizzo comes down the lineup a little bit, goes to the number three or the number four spot, somewhere around there. That's probably a tweak as far as what my guess would be, because Joe's been willing to admit that they've been struggling here, trying to put any runs up and getting any hits going here as of late. So my guess would be Albert Almora, I think, would be the player we're going to see bat leadoff sometime soon, and then Rizzo is going to come down. But the fact that he hasn't done it yet, I don't see it as a big cause for concern, because as of right now, so you move Rizzo from leadoff and you put who there instead? I don't know. Hayward, Almora,
Zobrist. Zobrist has had a solid year. Yeah. I mean, Almora, fine and dandy, was great to start the season, but offensively he has hit the pits as of late here. I mean,
of his moments in the first half did come when he was batting leadoff. Did seem to be, for whatever reason, a bit of a comfort spot for him. So maybe you can have, for whatever reason, it's not that it makes sense, there's something cosmic that for a couple of the guys, batting leadoff has jazzed a little bit extra juice into the bat. So Almora is a guy who I think that's probably worth a try, and my guess would be Joe's going to try that sometime soon now that it seems like Riz has gotten more comfortable.
Rizzo is slashing .347, .446 on base, .604 slugging, and OPS north of 1,000 since he moved to the leadoff spot. So it's like, okay, move him down in the order. Okay, move him back there. Then if he struggles, the immediate calls and responses will be, why'd you take him out of the leadoff spot? He is comfortable
Joe's
there.
Joe's always playing with
out.
The lineup.
I think that is, and Joe Madden speaks to that often, I do think that is one of the most overrated things in all of sports. It's not like it's football and you have the offensive line is playing as a unit the entire possession offensively together. Like, you go through a batting order, and who's hitting number one for you, that matters once in a game. Literally, the first time you bat in the first inning is when that matters. And then, wouldn't you prefer to have your best hitters have more chances to get to bat more? Like, your guys that get on base the most, and that is, as of late, it has been Rizzo. He is in that conversation. Wouldn't you want to see them have more chances to get to the dish, to drive in runs, to hit home runs, to get on base themselves? That's the whole reason Chris Bryant, for the most part in his career, has hit second in this lineup, is because, oh, he's the best hitter on the team. Yeah, instead of that whole best hitter hits third thing, bat him second, so he has a better chance of the lineup turning over and getting to him in the ninth inning if they're down a run and they need somebody to put a blast in. Like, I'm not one that looks on this lineup and just like, oh my God, Rizzo has to bat four because he's the power hitting first baseman, and that's where power hitting first baseman have hit forever. No, I think that is one of the most absolutely overthought and overrated things in all the sports, not just baseball.
I'm trying to remember how Joe Maddon has described it a couple of times where it's not what did he say? It's where he had a real highbrow comment sometime a couple of weeks ago. It's not an intellectual thought, or I don't remember exactly how he phrased it, but where the media was asking him about the leadoff position, and it's just not a very intellectual way to look at the game of baseball. I don't remember exactly how he phrased it, but it's kind of what you sounded like a bit right there. You had a bit of Joe Maddon. I was waiting to see the dark glasses come on and, you know, maybe start dyeing your hair even darker than what it is right
start
now.
Start slinging some art at you.
Yep.
Whatever else. 312-644-6767. Before we take a timeout, Mason City, Iowa. Nick, it's next up on the Score. What's up, Nick?
Hey, guys. From Iowa, before I get to my Cubs stuff, at some point, Anthony, I want to hear your most memorable game as a Hawkeye coming up on Kirk.
It's when he missed the tackle on Ron Dane, and Ron Dane ran for the record.
Yeah,
I'd come up with something better than that.
I'm talking the good stuff. I want to hear what your most memorable game is at some point, but I'll get my Cubs stuff in first, and I'll let you comment on that.
Sounds good.
From there. So in terms of the two major topics you guys are talking about, first on the rotation side, I think if the playoffs started tomorrow, because this is what everybody was talking about this morning before kind of a dud of a game, I think the questions are, does Bodie make the playoff roster? I think that's a resounding yes. And then the question becomes, would you play him in game one? Say you get to a playoffs, and right now, I think in terms of just looking at that lineup, specifically if you're matched up against the Dodgers, who are going to throw three left-handed pitchers, more likely Kershaw, Wood, and Rich Hill, I think Bodie's in the lineup at third. If Bryant is healthy, he's in the lineup at left field. You guys touched on Schwarber's struggles, especially against left-handed pitching. So in my opinion, right now, if you go based on that, and then what you were just talking about as far as lineup construction, I don't think Rizzo stays at the leadoff spot when you get to playoff time. I would kind of go down the line and say most logical based on the year he's having, I would go Zobrist 1, Hayward 2, Bryant 3, Rizzo 4, and then actually put Bodie in at 5 and Baez 6 if he's swinging the way he is right now. So what I wanted to touch on the rotation and kind of what you guys are leading up to before that is that, unfortunately, I've never been a big Lester fan. I'll give him credit for being a big-game pitcher, and I think that's unfortunately what's going
to
happen.
What else does a guy have to do for you to be a fan of him then, there, Nick?
I'd actually be more than just a one-component thing. He doesn't field, he doesn't run, he doesn't do a whole lot of stuff, and the thing that gets me most mad is that I was at the game when they got crushed 18-5 in Wrigley, and I can tell in the first inning pretty much every time whether or not he's going to be a head case of a game, because if he doesn't get 2 inches on the outside corner, you can tell in the first inning, and go back and look at his starts, he had Carpenter down 0-2 and threw a pitch on that game when we got killed and Carpenter went 5-for-5. He thought he had him struck out, and then he gets a head case, and he gets in the umpire's head about why you're not giving me the corner, and then he served up a bomb, Carpenter hit him, and then same type of thing in the most recent game.
Yeah, I appreciate a telephone call, very long-winded, and have your thoughts out there, and appreciate you making the effort to get on the airwaves tonight, Nick, but I look at that with John Lester, and he's a guy 34 years old. He's closer to the end of his career than he is to the start of his career. He's a guy you don't sniff a World Series with, let alone win one, without having on your roster in 2016.
You got to hang up on the Hawkeyes, though?
What's that?
You got to hang up on my Hawkeyes.
Oh, I mean, I let him run his.
You did let Nick go for a while.
Filibustering up here. I don't know what
name
he's
was
trying.
Nick.
Holy
I figured maybe there's a kinship there. You guys would bond over.
I mean, he
you know,
had
the shared
things that
surname.
Were well thought out. But Jesus, Nick, take a breath.
Just took him a while to get to it.
Holy cow! Spit it out there. No, he brought up good points with it. Yeah, Lester. He can do one thing on a baseball field to this point in his career extremely well.
It's a really important
Get
thing he does well.
Out.
Yeah, you need outs.
Whether it's strikeouts,
it's vital.
Whether it's weak contact, he knows how to get people out. It's also helped that he seemingly does it as well as anyone when the calendar flips to October throughout his career.
But to win championships. What's he having? Three championships?
Wait till teams start running on him in the playoffs.
Well, I've heard this before. Like,
yeah,
I mean, that's
15 seasons later, something like that.
Right?
Yeah.
Like,
he's been able to withstand that.
The
for
Royals
a while.
Did it and exposed him and made him look like an idiot when he was in A. And other than that, it has not gone out so well when teams have tried to do that against him. It's actually
well,
kind of
so
been
funny.
The
like
opposite.
when he does the lazy bouncer over to first, but the guy's just
is
so
comedic,
far
man.
Away from first
Dude,
base.
It's comedic
that he's able to get him out. That's his pickoff like, move. Is just the lazy dribbler over to first, but for whatever reason it works.
I don't
he
know
gets guys
another
because they're so far away from the bag.
I don't know another player in any sport ever that like you do something. And I think I was with you the night that we were talking about Hall of Fame consideration for John Lester one day. And it's going to be there.
Right.
Between winning World Series in Boston, winning World Series with the Cubs, multiple all-star, didn't win any Cy Youngs. But, like, he literally does one thing on a field. And he cannot do anything else. It is so bizarre. I don't know another athlete, let alone pitcher, baseball player, that pertains to.
And it's not like they said, hey, John, we know you're a good pitcher. Also, can you get in the box and be like a right-handed power hitter for us or something like that?
It's can you throw a ball to first base? Can you hold a runner on?
You're really good at throwing it from the mound to home plate.
Can you field your position?
Can you turn and throw it from the mound to first base on occasion, too? He just can't do it. It's so odd. Like, if John Lester was right here, we said, John, let's go in the hallway and play catch real quick. Could he throw it accurately to you down the hallway? That's just so weird. He's one of the great pitchers of this generation, and he can't turn and throw it to first base. That's just a foreign thought. I mean, I can turn and throw it to first base. Why can't he? He's one of the great pitchers we've seen.
That's Anthony Herron. I'm Nick Szczepkowski, 312-644-6767. Bottom of the hour being brought to you by Lakeside Bank. Banking is pretty much one size must fit all. If you don't fit, you don't matter. At Lakeside Bank, people do matter, so they customize, tailoring their products and services to fit you. Join Lakeside Bank. It's about time. 312-644-6767. Nick Szczepkowski, Anthony Herron, Sahadev Sharma from The Athletic will join us next to break down the Cubs and some of their shortcomings on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Welcome back in, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, 670thescore.com. Nick Szczepkowski, Anthony Herron with you
okay,
until 10 o'clock tonight.
Now.
Yes, from American Wedding.
Okay, yeah.
That's what I always remember it from. Right. As we're talking Cubs and whatever that was at Wrigley Field today, somebody that knows far more about this baseball team and about baseball in general than either myself or Anthony Herron, you can follow him on Twitter at Sahadev Sharma. He's the Cubs beat reporter, beat writer for The Athletic. Does fantastic work there. Sahadev, thanks for your time today or this evening. How's things going for you?
Going well. Just walking to my car and hoping to get in that air conditioning. So if you hear the car start, ignore that. It's going to be in a couple minutes. Just ignore the beeping sound, and I'll make sure that the radio isn't blasting for you guys.
All right. Don't worry about that part.
Appreciate the heads up.
We get people going through drive-thrus and whatever else all the time. So if it's the air conditioning or the radio, I think we'll be more than okay. I have a theory I have to run through you here in just a moment. But first, what's wrong with Jose Quintana? When's he going to turn into the guy the Cubs thought they were trading for a year ago?
Yeah, you know what? I have asked a lot of scouts that question. I have tried to figure it out by numbers, if there's anything more than just command issues. But it really has to do a lot with his command. Today wasn't the walk that hit him. It was a home run. And, you could see it live. Those were not good pitches. Those were not competitive pitches. Those aren't pitches you want to throw to anyone, let alone quality big leaguers. Ryan Brown made him pay for two hanging curveballs,
Lorenzo Cain got an elevated four-seamer, drove it out second pitch of the game. It's just there's a ton of inconsistency for a guy whose calling card was his consistency. And you see flashes and moments where you're like, oh, he looks like himself, but it's just it's not nearly as often as they need it to be.
So conversely, Cole Hamels looks like a different dude also, but he looks so much better than he did before he got here. At what point can we start to believe that this is just the new Cole Hamels for the rest of the year?
Well, he says he's figured something out with his mechanics, and I think if that's the case, then, you know, you're not going to see, what is it, a one ERA so far. You probably can't bank on that. But, hey, you know, we've seen great second halves from pitchers acquired at the deadline before. I don't want to, you know, assume that he's going to go on a Justin Verlander type run, but he certainly looks like he's figured something out. I'd like to talk to him more about exactly what he means by mechanics, but he said he's been working on it for a while. While he was in Texas, it's something that he's really been trying to hammer home, and he seems to have figured it out. If that's the case, the Cubs got a steal for the second half. Then I mean, they got someone that I talked to some scouts who were just completely perplexed by the move. Like, how's this going to help the team? And I guess that's more on them for not realizing how desperate the Cubs were for starting pitching at the time. But not many people, there weren't a lot of scouts that had watched him that saw something salvageable there. But clearly there has been, and at least the early returns are great. If he can do this for a couple more starts, yeah, I think you have to be really optimistic and excited for what he can deliver.
And how much of it, as you've been around him, does he equate to just the intangible part, the emotion of joining a club like Chicago, of, you know, the family drama that he had going on throughout the year here, and just having a fresh start? Has he spoken to that much?
Yeah, he has. And he said there's no doubt that something there. He loves competing. He loves being in a pennant race. That's why he's a major leaguer. That's why he does this for a living. He loves that part. But immediately, right after that, he mentioned the mechanics. So that's why I went to that first. But I agree. I think there's something to that. And that Bill was betting on that when he acquired him. He wanted to get a guy that's an ultra-competitor, that a guy that, hey, they couldn't make that crazy move at the deadline, right? They just don't have the system or the pieces to go and get that impact player that you know obviously is an impact player. So he needed to bet on intangibles. He needed to bet on someone turning it around. Looking at who was available, who was moved, there probably isn't a better bet than Cole Hamels. It was known what the guy can be. It just hasn't been that of late. And he certainly has turned it around for this team.
Speaking with Sahadev Sharma, you know him from The Athletic, Cubs beat writer there at Sahadev Sharma is where you can follow him on Twitter. Sahadev, I have a theory. Anthony didn't necessarily love it when I proposed it to him last night. Some
gird your loins for this one, Sahadev.
So
get ready.
But I look at what the Tampa Bay Rays have done in their starting rotation. I look at what the Cubs have done with theirs, with their issues in their starting rotation, and the fact that of playoff contenders, like far and away, they allow more first-inning runs, second-inning runs than any of these other teams. Am I out of my mind for thinking that it's not absurd that they should consider the opener-type idea that the Rays have come by and help pitch themselves to the best ERA in the American League behind?
Yeah, I mean, you know, first of all, Joe will never do that. Joe, when it was first brought up to him, when it was mentioned to him, he just completely dumped on the idea. He does not like the idea. He does not believe it's a long-term solution. You know, maybe here and there you could do it if the situation arises. I think it speaks more to the fact that, hey, you're facing a team's best batters to start
That's
the game.
That's part of it, yeah.
And the Cubs just aren't, the pitchers just aren't getting the job done. I will say, of late, I felt like Hendricks has been a little unlucky in that first inning. I'm not sure if it was his last start, but a recent start where I felt like his stuff was great, and they just found the holes. And it was like, come on, this guy's pitching pretty well right now, and he just can't catch a break. That may have been, did he pitch on Friday? That may have been the Friday game where they went down 2-0, you know, with a single run in the first and the second. I didn't feel like he pitched that poorly. In fact, I think Hendricks, outside of Hamels, is pitching the best out of the rotation. I'm not sure if that's I'm not going to completely dismiss that it's a good idea. I just know that the Cubs will do it, so it's hard for me to really spend much time breaking it down because, you know, I don't consider it a possibility for this team.
I was trying to remember the Joe Madden quote for what he said when some folks were making, you know, a few comments that he didn't think were quite as stimulating as he was hoping for. What was it?
Unsophisticated. About the lineup, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I feel like Shep is being very sophisticated with his ideas here and trying to, you know, perhaps juxtapose.
I'm trying to make chicken salad out of chicken something out of the starting rotation that this team has right now is what I'm trying to do there, Big Ant.
It's worth the effort. It's worth the effort. But for some of the other pitchers here, John Lester, he continues to also talk about mechanics, but it feels like he's been working on something for quite a while here that he just hasn't been able to get figured out. How different are these last, let's call it what, 7-8 starts for John Lester versus what he was actually doing mechanically earlier in the season? Because he was getting hit earlier. It just feels like there were people in position to catch them before.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, I mean, you guys know I like the numbers. I also appreciate the intangibles and the scouting aspect and the human aspect of this game. But the numbers all pointed to a huge regression, a negative regression for Lester, and it's come. I will say this. The numbers for his last start, if you're just looking at pure numbers, not, you know, like peripheral numbers and not the actual results, that would suggest he was actually on the right track. He was missing at bat with his cutter better than he has all season long. He didn't walk many guys. I talked to him about it, and he said his fastball just wasn't where he wanted it to be. It wasn't going where he wanted it to be, but he feels great. I think here's what I keep coming back to. Forget the numbers. This is John Lester, a guy that sometimes you can throw the numbers out, right? If this was, you know, a 26-year-old with no track record that had those peripherals, or even a veteran with a so-so track record with those peripherals, I'd have no faith that this guy is going to be able to pull it off. John Lester is a veteran who has succeeded in the postseason and the regular season, who has had major issues in his career where he looked like his career was completely derailed, and he's bounced back and had great, whether it's great starts, great seasons, whatever it is, he's figured things out. Midway through a season, midway through his career, whatever it is, he's always been able to come back. I'm seeing the stuff as fine. It's not like the stuff is terrible, but he's not John Lester of 2016 Cy Young contender, of course. But he's not that far off. I really do believe that there's a chance that he can get this back on track and look like a, you know, the first half was, oh yes, a lot of that was Smokey Mirrors at times. He wasn't, you know, whatever that 2-something ERA. That just wasn't, in reality, what he was going to be. I also don't think he's this, you know, 10 ERA guy or whatever he is right now. These are two different extremes, and I think he'll settle somewhere in the middle. My thing coming into the season was John Lester is probably a 3 or a 4 for this team, and that's fine because you have other guys that can perform. The thing is, those other guys aren't performing enough right now. Nobody else has stepped up and become the pitcher that we expected them to be. And that's the biggest issue for me. If Lester can get back to being a middling, and the other guys step up and Darvish returns, then you can survive and you can see this team go as deep as everyone expected at the beginning of the season. But right now, it's just kind of they're in a weird spot, and it feels odd being so negative about a team that has the best record in the NL, is in first place. But, you know, I keep coming back to, you know, what we're seeing on the field is not how good this team is supposed to be.
So, Hada, we're going to let you go here. Phone breaking up there a little bit. Appreciate you taking the time, especially after a busy day at the office, and we'll be in touch soon.
Of course. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Hada.
Hada Sharma from the Athletic Cubs beat writer right there at Sahad of Sharma does great work. Should be following him if you're a Chicago baseball fan whatsoever. 312-644-6767 is the telephone number to call. Nick Szczepkowski, Anthony Herron with you. Plenty more Cubs conversation along the way. Got to get into some Bears. Roquan Smith officially making his Bears debut today, at least in the practice form. That to discuss and tons more. You play Madden football video game wise?
93, yeah.
93.
That was the last Madden game I owned, Madden
okay.
93.
Well,
has it changed much since then?
Just a hair, but we're going to get into that a little bit as well. It's Nick Szczepkowski, Anthony Herron with you. Tons to come in the next 3 hours on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.